Galatians 4:21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by bond and the other by free woman. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which generates to bondage, which is Hagar. For this, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and which is in bondage to her children. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So last week we were saying that our mother is the Jerusalem which is above. And prophetically, that speaks of Sarah. And we said that means it is a covenant, verse 24. It's a covenant. So we have a covenant. It's a covenant. Sarah is a covenant. So that covenant is our mother. The covenant is our mother. This truth is our mother. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travelest not, for the desolate. Yeah, who is the desolate? The desolate is the another covenant. The desolate here is Hagar. Yeah, the desolate here is Jerusalem that is now is, that is in bondage to our children. That's what the desolate means. Isaiah tells us that the word desolate means, God says instead of desolation, he will give us Hexiba. Then instead of barrenness, instead of lack of marriage, it will give us Beulah. So we see that here, let me stick to verse 27. Verse 27 talks about those that are barren. Here, the barren one is Sarah. In a sense, we are barren. But the other covenant has many children. This same scripture here, we see it in Isaiah chapter 54. It's a cry, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 1. It's a cry, those that are barren. Cry, those that are barren. And then we see it also in Anna and Penina in Samuel. We see the same scripture. These are prophetic scriptures. So here it says, rejoice thou that bearest not, break forth and cry, that are travelers not, for the desolate had many children than she which had a husband. Sarah had a husband. I'm trying to emphasize this because when one understands this, many doctrines that are wrong is shattered. It's shattered. It gives us a better perspective. So, okay, let me go further. 29. Now, we brethren, as Isaac was our children of the promise, we are children of the promise. Who is our mother? Our mother is the covenant of promise. Our mother is Sarah. Okay, we are children of the promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that is born after the spirit, even so it is now. So Christ is telling us in verse 25, 29, that these two qualities are in a man that is born again. If the person is not born again, is not justified. It's just like Hagar. It's like Egypt. Okay? It's like Egypt. Hagar was from Egypt, that bondage. But when the person is born again, there's something, there's not a conflict, there's a war taking place. But the justification gives us light and illumination. As we yield to Christ, the bond woman, the doctrines of on the lifestyle of bondage that leads to death, desolation, God delivers us. So if you look at Abraham, you see a time came that there must be a separation between Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac. There must be a time. So the same thing with our work. There must be a time when there's some characteristic that must go. It's not at the time of justification, but as we grow in the Lord, as we partake of the peace offering, you see later, as God told him, said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. Then God started giving Abraham some things that he must do to enter that perfection. There's some things, God will not compromise it. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So for those that God has called and born again, as he unveiled himself to us, there's some certain things that must be give way. Okay, must give way. As then he that was born after the flesh persecuted them that is born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what said the scripture? Cast out the born woman and what? And her son. So what are we dealing with here? We are dealing with the son and we are dealing with the born woman. We are dealing with what? The covenant. Remember, we say Sarah is a covenant. We say, what is it? Sarah is a covenant. We say Hagar is a covenant. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. It's in verse 24. They are covenant. And what is a covenant? A covenant, verse 24. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. It's an agreement that is there. So any agreement, God said, cast out the born woman and her son. For the son of the born woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the born woman, but of the free. But of the free. But of the free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Remember, we said somebody that is born again, that is saved, that has come to justification, is free. God grant him an entrance. He said, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I Paul say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ profit ye nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to the whole law. He said, you guys, you have turned back to that bondage. You have turned back to that flesh, the things of the flesh. So here he's saying that they should live by the spirit, not after the flesh. Okay? They should live by the spirit. Verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace. For we through the spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Okay, so there's the hope of righteousness. There's something you are yearning for after being justified. So he's saying that you should not go back to the flesh. Taste not, touch not, and all that. Okay, so the before I go further, we see that Abraham was a type, a huge type. And here in verse Galatians chapter 4, verse 22, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. Okay, Abraham had more than two sons. So in Abraham, we see a type. Here in discussing it, he just talked about Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. But let's look at Genesis. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 1, here we see that Abraham married Keturah. So that is another woman. So in a sense, Abraham had three women. There was Sarah, there was Hagar, and there was Keturah. But Keturah was married after Sarah died. Okay, so it's very important we know that. Okay, and Sarah died in Genesis chapter 23. In chapter 25, we see that she had more children. Abraham had more children, and she bared him Zimran. Genesis chapter 25, verse 2. And she bared him Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, and Midian, and Hishbak, and Shusha. Verse 3, and Jokshan beget Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan was Asrum, Latrun, and Lerum. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, Hanok, Abida, Eda. All these are the children of Keturah. Okay, verse 5 says, and Abraham gave all that he had, all his inheritance, he gave it to what? Isaac. But the sons of the concubine, so in the scripture, the main wife was Sarah. Okay, the rest were all concubines. And all the sons of the concubines Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Okay, in looking at justification, broad topic, in looking at justification, one comes to, we are using Abraham as a type. But it gives us an open door of the plans and the purpose of God. Why is God justifying you? He's justifying you for a purpose. When God told Abraham, he said, in blessing I will bless you, multiply I will bless you. At the end of the day, he said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That means God is having his great work in you, among us. Not for us alone, but for us to be an instrument to bless the nation, to bless the nations. So through the time God was dealing for the nation of Israel, we can say all that period of time is Hagar at work. It is a bondage. He said it is Mount Sinai. So in the Mount Sinai, God went to what? Give them the law. Okay. Then he said Jesus Christ, the law came through Moses, but through Christ, grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Sarah, we see grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. So we see the promise. So one is the law. Hagar means law. And the other one is the promise. Sarah means the promise. That's why God gives you the Holy Spirit. And he called it what? The Holy Spirit of the promise. of the promise. Okay, so through during Sarah's time, we can say Sarah's time symbolically, prophetically, starts from when Christ came. Of the church age. So let me use one scripture to explain that. Chapter 60. It says, "Arise and shine, for the light is come." Isaiah 60, verse 1. "For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen in thee." They now said something. He said, "And the Gentile shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising." Who are these Gentiles? "Lift up thy eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar." Who are these sons? "And thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." Who are these daughters? "Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted to thee." The sea there talk about people that are not saved, the unsaved humanity, shall be converted to thee. "The forces of the Gentiles." We are still looking. Who is Gentiles? Who are these daughters? Who are these sons? The Gentiles shall be the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all day from Sheba, shall come to thee. Brethren, remember the Midian we just read now, and the Ephah. These are the sons of what? Of Keturah. These are the sons of Keturah. He said they shall come. The multitudes of the camels. These are the Gentiles. So there's three big blocks. Maybe you are hearing this for the first time. Just bear with me. There's three main blocks. Hagar represents the Jews. The Jews. They are in bondage and they are in the earth. God has not forgotten them. Okay, he said we were grafted in. They were rejected, we were grafted in. He said the promises, the calling, and the calling and the election of God is without repentance. God has not rejected the physical nation of Israel. Those guys in Palestine, they are not forgotten about. So we see Hagar. Hagar is a type. We can say Hagar represents now the Israelites. Then we see Sarah. Sarah represents the church, and all the inheritance are given to Isaac. We read it. All the inheritance are given to Isaac. The rest people get gifts. All the concubines get gifts. Okay. Then we now see Keturah. Keturah's children will come back. There will be a blessing to them. "Then thou shalt see," verse 5, "and flock together, and thy heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because of the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee." The verse 6, "The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all day from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall come in prayers. They shall come to worship God. They shall shew forth the praises of God." Then these are also the sons of Keturah. "All the foxes of Kedar shall be gathered unto thee. The rams of Nebato shall minister unto thee. They shall come with their acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify in the house of my glory." Bless God. This has not taken place. It will only take place when we see what? When the Gentiles shall see thy light, verse 3. "The Gentiles shall see thy light, and the king the brightness of thy rising." It is when the church comes into their own, when they come into the full inheritance, that this
verse 4, 5, 6 will be triggered. Okay.
I've said a lot, but let's quickly go back to Genesis. Genesis tells us three things, which we have mentioned before, but let's quickly. Genesis chapter 12. Okay, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, once we have this clear foundation about justification and everything that surrounds it, there will be great speed for not just me, but for every the house. So when somebody calls for prayers and says, let's pray about this matter, everybody will have a clear vision. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God told Abraham, "Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out of thy country, thy kindred, thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee." Okay? It was a physical land for Abraham. It was a physical land. But in now we realize that it's not a physical land. When he got to the promised land, he said, no, he looked for a city which builder and maker was God. So in Abraham, he saw two things. It was a physical land, but he saw it was a spiritual land. It's a sphere of God's dominion and God's power. He said it was a city. Nobody built it. He said, which builder and maker is God? It's a city fashioned by God. So he knew it was a physical land. He knew God is going to bring it to a physical land because God showed even a dream and vision. After his sacrifice, he said, your people shall be in this land for 400 years. He knew that when he came to the promised land, he said, no, God is saying something greater, something more profound. This word justification is taking me to something higher than the realm of the earth, something far higher. He knew it was a physical land, but he also knew it was high in the heavens, a city which builder and maker was God. Verse 2, he said, and God now told him three things. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee. That means there's people, wicked people around, and curse them that curse thee. And indeed, all the families of the earth be blessed. That portion, we just said that portion, that the blessing of the Gentiles. And how did he describe the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the children of Keturah. The children of Keturah, Sheba. Remember, Solomon was a type of the kingdom of heaven upon the earth, was a type. David fought all the wars, but as Solomon was to establish the kingdom. And who was one of those that came to see David? It was Sheba, the queen of Sheba. The queen of Sheba came, and he came to learn. He said he learned all the wisdom, all the knowledge of the God of Solomon. And he was marveled. He marveled. So that's a type. He said, Sheba, they will come to the kingdom. They will come to, but it is when the kingdom has been established. We should know that after it has been established. So we see in these seven promises, God now showed Abraham in a type, but God expanded it. So we see that the vision was shown to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. We see the life of justification in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it said, and he believed in God. He believed in the Lord. And it was counted to him in righteousness. We see that. And the Romans tells us that that's justification. He said, those that are justified are blessed. So after that, we see in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, it said, you have been
you have been working with me, you have been working with me, but I want to lift you to a higher level. I want to bring you to a place of perfection, a place of maturity, a place of growth, a place of stability, where you are not tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine. And God appeared unto Abraham. There, his name was still Abraham. He has not the qualities of being to procreate. At this time, there was no Isaac. At this time, there was no Isaac. The qualities of coming to that estate of life was God was presenting to him this lifestyle, this elevation, this place of stability, or another way of putting, this place of sanctification. It's like, and Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and God appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And walk before me and be thou perfect. Then God, he said, I will make a covenant between me and thee. Verse 2, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. So this another level of life. Okay, we call it the level of sanctification. There you see a lot of the things that happened to him. God, this is when he knew consecration. This is when Isaac was bettered. Then the last one, by his grace, we'll get there some other day. The last one is in Genesis chapter 22. Let me quickly just look at Genesis chapter 22. Okay, so I need to look at Genesis 22 so that we can tie these things together, these blocks that we are trying to lay. The Jewish, the age of the Jews, the age of the church, and the kingdom. The Jewish age, the law age, the Haggai talking about the church age, the gospel age, the age of grace and grace and truth. Jesus Christ came and said, come with me, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. It was never preached before during the time of the law. In fact, God says anybody born again at this period is greater than John the Baptist. He said the least in the kingdom of heaven. Anybody just born again now, his level of life is greater than all the greatest in the Old Testament. You see, imagine. Why? Because we are born of incorruptible seed. We are being elevated. We are sitting in the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not in Mount Sinai, but we are what? In Mount Zion. We are in the courts of the Lord. Big difference. So, but we say there's another age. There's another dispensation. There's the Keturah. There's the age where the God uses Isaac, uses this covenant that represented by Sarah of promise to bless the nations. So let's quickly look at this. That the land that was promised to Abraham, it was twofold. There was a land in the heavens, now there was a land in the earth. And it came to pass, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things. I'll try not to make comment. I'll just read. And it came to pass after this that God it turned around and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell thee. So it was a transition to the mountains. It was a transition to a higher elevation. Mount Moriah is the place where they built the temple of Solomon. Okay. Let me continue. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God has told him. Verse 4, then on the third day, It was a journey. It was a journey. Notice that it was a journey. The journey to the fullness of life is not suddenly one day. It's a journey. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, young men, you guys abide here. Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He was prophesying about Jesus. And they went, and they came to the place which God has told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket of his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. At his, to this day, in the mouth of the Lord, this revelation shall be made known, shall be seen. Amen. Amen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself. So we see in the beginning, any person born again, God showed him the vision. He gets born again. He gets saved. But the vision is not clear. It's not that sharp. But if you look at it, God showed him the seven things in Genesis chapter 12. But here, he gave him more details. Throughout the four main blocks, verse 12, Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 22 now, we see God giving Abraham the vision. It makes it more clear and clear and clear. Here, it was more sure, more fair. In fact, God, that seven things God showed Abraham in verse 3, God now gave it in three big divisions. And the angel of the Lord said unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, but because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, that in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. Here, that estate of life, he now gave it to him. The land, one of the land in the heavens, the stars of the heaven. He said, and the sand that is upon the seashore. Okay, so he made it more clear, more pronounced to him. Amen? Amen. From what we have been discussing, time actually will fail us, but we'll look at it. The Isaac, in a sense, in the antithetical type, the reality of the type is that Isaac is what? The children of the promise. He said, we are what? We are the children of the promise. We are not of that woman that has many children. So in a sense, the stars of the heaven represent a class. Then the sand that is upon the seashore represent a class. So we see that division. God will so bless and bless and bless and bless the children of Abraham to elevate them to that estate of life. Amen? To that estate of life. That's one. The other one, he said, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. That means there is opposition in the land. Satan must be judged. We see that in the book of Revelation. The dragon must be overthrown. Revelation chapter 12. The beast out of the sea must be overthrown. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. The beast out of the earth must be overthrown. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. Their opposition in the land, they must be judged. But the people God will use to carry out this judgment is what? Is the church. Is the seed. S-E-E-D, the seed of Abraham. Said, in thy seed, verse 13 now, Genesis chapter 22. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's what we're trying to emphasize today, that the children of Keturah will come in. The nations will come in. He said, thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. We see that Abraham is a type. There's something that happened to Abraham that we need to just emphasize. Then we trust God, we can pray, except there's any question. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We go to 17. So the situation that happened in the Mount Moriah is that it was a type. I would call it a resurrection. I would call it that Abraham was entering into the fullness of life. It was an experience. Verse 11, verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. If you read Genesis chapter 21, it said, God tempted Abraham. It was not a temptation. It was a trial. It was a trial. So God keep on testing us until we come to the final test. It's a test. God does not tempt. He said, God tempts no one. So it wasn't a temptation. Hebrews tells us here it was a trial. By faith, when he was tried. So we are in school. God tests us. We get a promotion. We got to a level. He tests us. We get a promotion. So we see that in Abraham's life. We see God is made unto us what? Wisdom. He's made unto us wisdom. He's made unto us what? Righteousness is made unto us, sanctification is made unto us, redemption. So we see we are in a school, we are sort of in a school, we are in a training. And the most important thing in this time, we'll look at one scripture, is that you should learn of him. Learn of him, learn as much as you can learn, be feasting. It happened to the fishers of men. 3.5 years, they were learning. He was talking to them in parables. He would tell to them, he would explain the parable. They were learning. Then on the day of Pentecost, things change. We are in a learning position. The power is going to fall. The latter rain is going to come. It doesn't matter whether Mr. A, Mr. B, or Mr. C is not prepared. Just be preparing yourself because the rain is going to fall. There will be a deluge. Isaac must enter his inheritance. It is the thus said the Lord. God has ordained it. So the most important thing at this time is for you to learn of him. Keep on learning. Study the Bible. Look at it back and forth. You will think you have known it. Look at it again and again. The same verse. Compare scripture with scripture. Be learning. Okay. Let me quickly go through this. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, verse 19, verse 13, account that God is able to raise him from the dead. Yeah, he just knew. He said, what about this instruction from God? He said, well, God is going to perform the resurrection. There must be something going on. He saw beyond this time. He saw that Jesus Christ was resurrected. He said, God is able to raise him from the dead. For hence also it was received him in a figure. So he said, the writer of the Hebrew said, it actually happened. But it was like a figure. It was a type. So God dealing with Abraham was dealing with him until he came to this estate of life, of what? Of resurrection, of redemption of the body, of the fullness of life. We see that in Abraham, a big type, and it's worth studying. Let's quickly open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. What is so important these days is that you should know God's word and run away from sin, which we saw in Ezekiah. Run away from sin. Run away. Take the weapons of warfare and destroy the idols in your life. Destroy the groves. Destroy all hindrances. Every expression of idolatry, Jezebel, any expression of idolatry, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, any other, destroy it. So in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, just notice the instruction is given this brother Timothy. Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, what you say, in conversation, in your lifestyle, in your love, in charity, in spirit. Spirit there is not a capital letter. I'm not talking about it being, talking about truths in faith and in purity. Till I come, give attendance. Look at this expression. Give attendance to reading. Give attendance. Look at the Bible. Look at the scriptures. Give attendance to various scriptures, various things written, videos, sermons. Give attendance to reading. To what? To exhortation. You see your friend, you just talk. None is exhortation. Then give yourself to reading and exhortation and to doctrine. You should know God's word. You should know it. Line upon line, precept upon, you should know it. Give attendance. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Neglect not the gift. Give thyself wholly to it. He said, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Keep on looking at it. Keep on looking at it. Meditate upon these things. He said, give thyself wholly to it. You could, like somebody planning to get a PhD, and he studies it, look at it, he's going, looking at all the hypotheses, looking at all the theories, looking at it. He said, give thyself wholly unto it. That's why in the Bible it says our calling is a profession. It's a lifestyle. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. He said you should give yourself to what? To the word of God. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profit may appear unto all. Unto all. Take heed of thyself. The next verse, verse 16. Then take heed of thyself. Take heed. We need to be examining ourselves. Take heed of thyself. We need to be examining ourselves. Look at yourself. Do you examine? Do you check yourself? Do you examine yourself? Do you judge yourself? Take heed of thyself and unto the doctrine. You need to look at all the doctrines you have ever believed. Look at it again and again. Look at it. Is this thing true? Is this God's word? Which scripture can I justify? Can I look at it for a scripture and say, this is what God is saying here? Take heed of thyself unto the doctrine. He said, continue. After you have taken, continue in them. And in doing this, thou shalt save thyself. I thought this guy was already born again. Timothy was born again. Now, why is he saying that? Save thyself. It's because he was looking for that higher transformation, that redemption of the body, that deliverance from the body of this corruption. He said, thou shalt save, both save thyself and them that hear thee. Very profound. Thou shalt save thyself. He said, give thyself. We need to examine the Bible more and more. More and more. More and more. More and more. Keep on looking at it. Keep on examining it. Take heed of thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. And in doing this, as you engage in these doctrines, as you engage in these words, as you engage in this word of life, He said, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Very, very profound. You shall save not only yourself, but them that hear thee. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Verse 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That means we were outside the garden. Sin was operating. We are without God in this world. There was death, the sentence of death. In sentence means we're found wanting. Then there was a sentence. He said, in the day that thou eatest of this fruit, in dying thou shalt die. So there was a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. So there was a salvation. There was a deliverance. Say, who has delivered us from so great a debt? Justification lifts you out from the debt. The sentence of death is broken. Who delivered us from so great? What a debt. Then he now said, it doesn't stop there. And doth deliver. Redemption is past, present, and there's an end. Coming to the end of our faith, the redemption of our body. That's when the symbolic Isaac, they enter into their inheritance. Who delivered us from so great a debt and doth deliver? So he said, if you yield yourself to these provisions, if you yield yourself to these doctrines, if you yield yourself, you meditate upon it, you examine it, you continue in them. You are like to fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your... He said, you shall not only save yourself, you will save others that hear thee. He said, he has delivered us from so great a debt and doth deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There's a deliverance to come. Deliverance from this body of death, physical body of death. Amen? Amen? So what are we saying? We are saying in Abraham, there's a type revealed to us. A type revealed to us. That when we are justified, we are in an environment of victory, an environment of blessing. We can have peace with God. We can enjoy fellowship. We can enjoy communion. But God doesn't just stop there. He wants us to come to the meat offering, come to the place of dining, come to the place of wining, come to the place of delicacy, because he wants us to be transformed. And when he has brought us to that realm of life, where we have the circumcision of the heart, where we are breaking forth into fruitfulness, Isaac was of the fruit of Abraham's body, breaking forth into fruitfulness. God says, oh, There's more tests. There's a higher elevation. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. It's good, but there's something beyond that. Because thou hast obeyed my voice, I've not withheld thy son, thy only son. There was a further placement given to Abraham. We are trying to encourage ourselves that we should study God's word. We should yield our energies. Because it is what is important. Two things. Run away from evil. Run away from wickedness and all that. But yield your life to God's word. It is the means of your transformation, is God's word. As we yield ourselves to God's word, study the Bible, understand it, live by it, walk by it, dwell in it. In our waking moments is the Bible. In our sleeping moment is the scriptures. Make it plain, make it simple. And all those articles, as it works, it said, thou shalt save thyself and thou shalt save others. You will be an instrument, you'll be a savior, and a means to save others, to deliver us from death. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord greatly bless us. May the Lord grant us greater understanding. God grant us various graces at this time. to cause us to live in his word. Those fishermen was just living by God's word. 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Now, people, you have to live a lifetime, 40 years, 50 years. The guy doesn't even still know the Bible. Those guys, they dwell away with Christ for 3.5 years. At the time, the earnest of our inheritance, Pentecost, as the anointing fell upon them, they moved from being timid and running away to be an apostle. They were transformed from being paupers, to be an apostle. Somebody sitting fully in life and in character. Imagine, that was them. Imagine Brother Paul that didn't experience what they experienced. On his way to Rome, there was a serpent that bit his hand. What did he do? He shook his hand and the serpent fell into the fire. And they were waiting for him to die. Brother Paul didn't die. He didn't have to run to the hospital to get anti-snake venom and all that. Because immortality was working in him. It was beyond it could not be haunt of the second death. It was life was operating in him. He shook his hand and the serpent fell into the fire. There was power, there was grace, there was qualities working into him. We need to just know God's word. As we study it, the nitty-gritty will come. And we avoid evil. As we avoid evil, we avoid the idols, we avoid the idolatry, we avoid fornication, all those things that led to the pitfall of the nation of Israel in the wilderness, tempting Christ and all that. And as we yield our energies, not just as individual, but as a church, we yield ourselves, waiting for him, seeking him. He will keep on opening the scriptures unto us, open his word, open his provision. And as we yield our energy, know this word, understand it. He told the Thessalonian church, he said, thou knowest perfectly the day of the Lord. Not one person, not two persons, not three persons. The whole church of the Thessalonians. He said, thou knowest perfectly the word of God. And as we yield ourselves, the rain will fall. The power of God will fall. Not in any other age, in our age. Because all the times and the period, we have seen it in the scripture. It will fall in our day. But those that we receive of it is those that are prepared. Those that are prepared. There was 120 prepared on that day of Pentecost. And the power of God fell upon them. Men that were timid and all, they were transformed. Transformed. Mighty men. Bold. One in less than 2-3 hours, 3,000 people were saved. And it continued till this day. Millions of people have been saved during crusade. Just the power of God. And that was the earnest. May the Lord grant us grace. May the Lord grant us help. May he arrest us and cause us to have time to study his word. May the situation around about us be conducive. Be conducive. Our jobs be conducive. Our business be conducive. Our homes be conducive. That our times and energy, that we might be able to buy the time. That we might buy the time. That we might take back the time. Redeem the time. And walk circumspectly. May the Lord grant us grace and help. In Jesus' name.